Thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for everybody joining us on Facebook. We appreciate you for worshiping with us as well. It's that hard time where we have to kind of quickly switch from Thanksgiving thoughts into Advent and into Christmas. So I've got a lot of announcements about different things we have going on in December. So many of you all have signed up to do turkeys or hams for the Christmas dinner that's this Wednesday evening, and we appreciate your willingness to do that. If you have signed up to do a turkey or a ham, those can be picked up in the Family Life Center today or tonight. If you come back for cookies and carols, and if you are doing the turkey, I just want to remind you, please make sure you do your dressing along with it. So thank you all again for being willing to help us out with that. Choir practice today at 4:45. Please don't forget about that if you're in choir. And then, as we've been mentioning for several weeks, this is a fifth Sunday, and on fifth Sundays we normally do something a little bit different, a little bit special. And so tonight at 6 p.m. in the Family Life Center, we will be having an all-church get-together with cookies and carols. So we'll be singing carols and want you to bring your favorite kind of cookies and to bring those to share. So that'll be a good time to kick off the Advent season. Wednesday evening, as I already mentioned, that will be our all-church Christmas dinner. And the children will be doing their Christmas program. They're going to be doing that at the beginning. That'll be at 6 p.m. And so you all are asked to bring side dishes and desserts. Please remember to bring extra. We're expecting a big crowd, not only within our own church, but we're expecting a lot of grandparents and parents and different family members for all the kids who are going to be participating in the Christmas program. So please make sure that you bring plenty of food, and we're excited about that. There's also a sign-up sheet to decorate tables. We plan to have 30 tables set out, and so we have a sign-up sheet in the foyer. I know many of you have signed up already to decorate a table, but we still have tables that need to be decorated, so you haven't missed out on your opportunity. And you can start decorating those tables tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. if you've signed up to do so, or if you do sign up to do so. So please make sure you think about that. Everything always looks great, and it's always a good time of fellowship. The Good News Sunday School class is having their Christmas party next Saturday at 2 p.m. at John and Star Smith's house. I believe there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer for that as well. So if you were part of that Sunday School class, don't forget about that. You all have been great to support Bread of Life and the ministry and the meals we put together every month. There is a sign-up sheet for December, and there are a few things still left that need to be signed up for the December meal. Those items need to be brought by Wednesday night, so please check that out on your way out the door. Or, of course, if you can't get to the store in time to get that delivered, you can sign up for something and drop some money in the box, and that will be taken care of. But thank you for your support of that ministry. Thank you all also for your support of the Christmas store. We've been announcing that for a number of weeks. Thank you for everybody who's given financial donations or has brought in donations of toys. We appreciate everything you're doing to make sure that we have a big event as we give these items to the kids who come and give them a good Christmas as part of that. If you've not had a chance to do that, please see Linda Kennedy, and I'm sure she will be glad to tell you what items she still needs, or she will be glad to take your money, and then she can get what she needs. So please see Linda for that, and don't forget about that. We will have our Christmas card box out in the back next week. So if you want to give Christmas cards to your fellow churchgoers, happy for you to do that. We'll also have a Christmas tree up back there if you want to just do one card for everybody. I know some of you do that. And then you can clip that to that Christmas tree so that everybody can see it. So we will have either option for you back there. We do have lists in the foyers, both a list with addresses for some that may not be able to come to church that you may want to mail one to, in addition to the people that you may want to put one in the box for. So if your name is left off, that is clearly or just simply an oversight. We did not do that on purpose. So if you find that your name is left off or somebody else's name is left off, please let the church office know, and we'll get that corrected and make sure that everybody who's a part of our congregation will receive a card. There are many other items, as you know, that go out in the bulletin every week. Make sure that you're looking at that on Fridays for the things that I'm not able to cover up here. And one other thing I wanted to mention, it's a long way off, but we want to go ahead and start talking about it. We will be having a spring craft fair here in the Family Life Center on March 21st, and so there are sign-up sheets for anybody that wants to have a table there, and it has all the rules and all the information on it. So those are out there on the welcome station, and just want to go ahead and make you aware of that so that you can be taking some of those if you're interested in having a table at the craft fair, or if you're interested in passing some of those out to people you know who might be interested. We're looking forward to a good event for that down in the Family Life Center. One other thing I wanted to make note of, Miss Maxine Grimm was a member of the church for many, many years, and her family's been connected to the church for many years. I think many of you all know she passed away, and her funeral was a week ago Friday, but just continue to remember the Grimm family and the Keller family in the time that they have gone through this loss. Thank you all for being here today, and look forward to worshiping with you.
Oh. That's a tough act to follow. Good morning. It is so good to be here with you this morning and share a labor of our love here at Crossville Nazarene. So, I asked, and you said yes, and Jack shed some blood, and we have books. These blood was shed for you, for these books. But our very first Advent devotion, congregational devotion, is put together and ready for you all to have to take with you throughout the season. It's called Words of the Season. I did very little editing because it is not my job to edit your heart. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I just added a few commas and moved a few words around. But I could not be prouder of the product that we have for you all to walk through this season with. So we do have regular copies. We have a couple of large print copies if you need one of those. But there's a place for sermon notes throughout the season, as well as a devotion for every day, Monday through Friday. You're going to find the stakes. It was done by a human that edited and was also sick last week as she did this. And so for those mistakes, I apologize. But for the heart that has been poured into the book, I thank you from the bottom of my heart just for saying yes when you were asked to do something that was kind of a little far-fetched. So, and I say that because, and I'm a little weepy this morning, because I woke up this morning after 20 of my family left. Of course, I was sick most of the week and didn't have to cook much, but they did most of that. But I woke up this morning alone, and it was quiet. And there was a good part about that. But there was also a sad part about that when all your kids and grandkids go home. But I remembered two things. Jesus is still on the throne.
Amen.
I'm not alone. And my Crossville family was ready to worship with me this morning. And so I'm so grateful to be here as we kick off Advent. Advent is a word that means coming or visit. And in this season of Advent, we look forward to the coming of Christ, the Christ of Christmas. In this time, we need to remember Israel's hope for the coming of God's Messiah to save, to forgive, and to restore. And we need to remember our need for a Savior to save us from our sins. We need to remember our belief and anticipation of the second Advent, or that coming of Jesus. We need to remember to take the next few weeks to prepare our own hearts and our own minds for the reason of this celebration. And we do that with the lighting of the candles each week. It helps to build that excitement of what the season is really all about. The candles each have a different purpose, and today we focus on the hope that we find in Christ our shepherd. We read in Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God.
Yes, yes.
See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have the young." We light this candle today because, like God's people centuries ago, we also look forward with hope to the coming of the great shepherd. The purple color of the candle reminds us of the seriousness of our hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in excitement and anticipation of what this season brings us. We know without Christmas there would be no Easter. We know without your birth that we would not be who we are, where we are. And so, Lord, as we kick off this Advent season, not of the celebration of everything else that comes with it, Lord, but that the hope that you bring, that we are awaiting you because our hope is found in you. Our hope is not found in anything that's underneath the Christmas tree or decorations or anything else, Lord, but in you. And so today, Lord, quiet our hearts. Open our eyes and our ears and our minds to what you would have to say to us today. And fill us with the hope and the awe and the wonder of what is to come over these next 4 weeks. Yeah. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
One of the closing remarks in my sermon this morning is that there's an old Jewish proverb that says that every baby that is born is a sign that God wants things to continue. Now, I'm not so sure about that, but aren't we blessed when new babies are born? We're also blessed, and especially me, you know that, when I have the opportunity to be able to dedicate a baby. And today, Jack Austin and Emily Deals are going to come. And we're going to dedicate Daniel. He's with his grandpa right now, so that could be a bad thing. I don't know. That's the wrong child. No, that's right. There are lots of them. We're so glad to have the opportunity to be a part of this today. And I believe God is going to bless and that God is going to help. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." These parents come today as our Lord's earthly parents did to present this child to the Lord. And by presenting this child for dedication, they signify not only their faith in the Christian religion, but also their desire that Daniel may early know and follow the will of God, may live and die Christian, and come unto everlasting life. In order to attain this holy end, it will be your duty as parents. I'll let you turn around. You want to hold this one? It'll be your duty as earthly parents to teach him early the reverence of the Lord and to watch over his education that he may not be led astray, to direct his mind to the Holy Scriptures, his feet to the sanctuary, and to keep from him all friends that would have evil habits, and as much as lies within you, to bring him up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Will you endeavor to do so by the help of God? If so, answer, I will. Amen. We look at Daniel today, and he's largely a blank, unwritten slate. He's precious. But we've got to instill in him the desire to early follow after God. In order for him to have eternal life, he's going to have to come to know Jesus as his personal Savior. And he's going to have to accept Jesus as his Savior and follow after him. Emily, you carried him close to your heart for a long time. And one of these days you'll get to carry him in your heart as he grows and as he gets older. And lead him in the way that he should go. Jack Austin, we have the Word of God here. And I know, because I know your dad, that early on, that they took you to the Word of God. And you too need to take your children early to the Word of God. And that's yours this morning. And so at this time, I'm going to put you on the floor. How about that? At this time, precious, isn't he? Amen. I knew Grandma would say that. Daniel Austin Deals. Your mom and your dad, your entire family, and this church family today, we dedicate you to the Lord in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that we have this opportunity to come before you this morning knowing, Lord, that you have given this life to this family so that they can raise him in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What an awesome responsibility we have. What an awesome responsibility we have as a congregation for this child and for other children that have been placed in our care today. I pray, Father, that you would bless and that you would help Jack Austin and Emily as they raise Daniel. I ask you, Father, that you'd give them wisdom and that you would supply them with everything that they need to help him to follow you early and then to live a life that is dedicated to you. We give you praise, honor, and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I forgot to ask the congregation to stand. I want you to wave at these, since I didn't do that, if you'll help to raise this child, provide a place for these children and our children, I want you just to raise your hand. How about that? They're going to help. They're going to pray. We're going to believe. Amen. Bless you guys.
Heather said that it's going to be hard to follow the choir, and it is. That's one of my favorite.
It's kind of a spiritual, kind of one of those that gets your heart to pumping. And we're going to sing another song that some of you may not know, but I hope a whole lot of you do know. My Life Is In You. And it's a little fast. We're going to slow it down. Don't worry. We're going to get there this morning with some others. Stand with me as you're able, and let's worship the Lord together.
And come.
more time.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give
Christmas time, Advent, and I think a lot of times we have this asinine notion that this pops into here from a vacuum, that it doesn't come from anywhere. But let me remind you that the hope for the Messiah that the people had came from a long and miserable history. If you read the first bit of the Bible, these people they had to leave their land because of a famine. And then they were enslaved for 430 years in the land that they went to for refuge. And when they finally got out, they wandered around and all died over the course of 40 years and only entered back into their land through a lot of hardship. And then in that land, they succumbed to themselves, civil war over and over and over. Couldn't get a good king, couldn't get a good king, couldn't get a good king. Then they were exiled by the Assyrians, exiled by the Babylonians, and then they were ruled over by Rome. That's the history of the Israelite people, and these are the people who looked with hope for a Messiah. This didn't come out of a vacuum. This came out of a long and painful history, and yet these people believed in God, and they looked to Him as their salvation. So this might make a little sense here. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. What no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart of man imagined, is what God has prepared for those who love Him. God is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. That's our hope. Let me pray for us. Lord, the history of your people in general wasn't one that looked overly promising. And sometimes maybe we feel the same is true of us, that our history as we look back on it isn't exactly full of promise. And yet, when we look to you, we know that we look to the God who has hope for us, who calls us to a life of holiness and goodness and salvation, that it's by looking to you that we might truly live, and that's a hope that we cannot take for granted. We thank you for being our hope, for being our salvation, for being our redemption, for being our righteousness. It's in your name and in only your name that we have these things, so it's you we glorify and praise. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning from Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I know on the screen, and in just a moment when the scripture gets up there, you're going to see that it begins with verse 20. But if you've got your Bibles, I just want you to back up two verses to verse 18. And then we're going to pick up with that and read on down through verse 23. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly.
But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Hope. Huh. It's one of those things that we hear a lot about, and then, you know, every time you turn around, some politician is promising a great amount of hope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's as political as I'm going to get this morning. Can you imagine not having any hope? Can you imagine a day without knowing that God cares? Can you imagine a week without at least hearing something about God? Can you imagine a month of not feeling God's presence? Can you imagine for just a second that for an entire year you heard nothing about God? You felt as though every time that you prayed, your prayers didn't get any further than the ceiling. You just felt completely hopeless. You felt completely helpless. Can you imagine a year? Can you imagine 400 years? Can you imagine 400 years without as much as a whisper from the throne room of heaven? I mean, you begin to think about that, and in all honesty, I think it would be very difficult for us to even imagine, you know, a day or a week or a month without at least thinking about God or knowing something about God. But when you begin to think about 400 years, I'm telling you, folks, that would be unbearable. And for a nation who had followed after God, and as Pastor Jack just was talking to you about that, for a nation who their entire history had been wrapped up in the Word that came from God. Nothing. Nothing but silence. Silence makes us real uncomfortable, doesn't it? Y'all had no idea what I was going to say after that, did you? Just kind of sitting there. Oh my, he lost his train of thought. Where is he going? No, I just wanted you to endure about 10 seconds of silence. 400 years. I mean, it would really seem like a hopeless situation. And that is kind of the situation, well, it's not kind of, it is the situation that Israel found themselves in. I mean, they had all the law, they had all the prophets, they had all of these things. But for 400 years, there had not been a prophet, at least a legitimate one. For 400 years, there had been nothing new that had come upon the scene. And the last words that were spoken by the prophet until this time, Jerusalem had been under the dominion of 6 or 7 different rulers. And these rulers did everything from sacrificing pigs in the most holy place to selling the women and the children as slaves. 400 years. There had been no word from God. 400 years. There had been no prophet of God. Total, hopeless silence. Until. Isn't that a good word? Until. And it was almost unimaginable that this until finally happened. And there was a glimmer of hope. As I said, verse 18. He said, Matthew says, this is how it came about. We know what all had come about because of what Luke tells us. And we have all of these things that are going on there in Luke that Matthew just kind of jumps in. And he doesn't lead us through all of that. But he picks up with Joseph instead of Mary. Mary has already had a visit from an angel, and there was some hope there. I think she was scared to death, but there is some hope there. And then Joseph has this visitation, this glimmer of hope of the one who was about to come. Hope has to be one of the words and one of the words of the season of Christmas. Not just for that first Christmas, okay? But for every time that we celebrate the birth of our Lord, hope springs forth eternal from the good news that Jesus came into this world, He lived, He died, was resurrected, has ascended, and continues to make intercession for you and for me today. That is where our hope springs from. It does not spring from the politician or the people who are around us. It springs from Jesus. Man was lost. I don't have to tell you that. Man was lost. And the only one who could do something about it, the only one who would do something about it, was God. And it is that hope that is found in this gift of Christmas that I want us to start this morning. And as we go through the words of the season, and please don't think we're leaving Christ out of Christmas when we use just that word season. I hesitated with that. But it is a season that we are going through, this season of Advent, of declaring the coming of our Lord Jesus, but also the soon coming of our Lord Jesus. And it's here in this time that we have together that we need to see, that we need to realize that it is the hope that we have in Jesus that makes all the difference in the world for us. It is not hope in anything else. And I want us to see three things this morning. The first thing that I want us to see this morning is that there is hope in the person of God. There's hope in the person of God. You look at verse 23, and there the Word of God says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We've kind of talked about this as we were going through Exodus, but I just want to come back to it for just a moment. The people of Israel basically had seen God as this far-off, austere, judgmental-type God. They had not seen Him as a person to be dealt with. They had seen Him as someone to be feared, someone to be obeyed. And He is someone to be feared. He is someone to be obeyed. Amen. Amen. But He is also a God that all across the years has been reaching out to us. Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 had tried to tell us about the person of God and how this person would come, but they totally missed it. Hosea, through his life and love, had tried to show the people that even though they had been unfaithful, God was still faithful. And they missed it again. I mean, it seemed like all that they wanted was a God of judgment. All they wanted was a God of law. The personality of God seemed to be of no concern to them. They didn't want a God that they could have a relationship with. They didn't want a God that they could communicate with. They looked for a God out there. Instead of a God with us. They looked for a God out there, not a God that was willing to come and set up His tent on the street in which we live. They didn't see it. They didn't get it.
And folks, please understand that there is hope in the person of God. His personality is just as real. It's just as defined as ours. Don't misunderstand that. I'm not trying to reduce God to our level. I understand that He is who He is, and I am who I am, and you are who you are. But He is God. But His personality is there. He came to us in the form of a baby. There's always hope in a baby, isn't it? I mean, I said it a moment ago. You looked at little Daniel there. And I mean, it's basically a blank slate, you know. Marion, just a few weeks ago, we dedicated her. We got some others that we're going to dedicate. Praise the Lord. Y'all should have said amen to that. You know. But there always seems to be hope in a baby. You know, I mean, you can overlook a lot of things, but I don't think you can overlook a baby. You bring a baby into the room, and please, all of our grandmas, don't take this wrong, but you bring a baby into a room, and I'm going to tell you what all the grandmas in the room do. It's like a magnet. They're being drawn to that baby. They want to see that baby. They want to hold that baby. They want to touch that baby. What's that? And? There's no problem with that. I remember when Megan was born, and the nurse said to me, "Do you want to hold her?" I said, "No." And you know what the nurse did? Phew. And I held her. I did not know that you could fall in love as fast as I fell in love that day. And then when the first grandbaby came along. Uh-huh. Those of you who are grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. Perfect child. Can do no wrong. At least until the first diapers changed. And that's when you hand them back to mom. I know I'll pay for that later, so y'all just go ahead and overlook it, you know. But you can't overlook a baby. There's just no way to do it. There is something about it. I mean, it's amazing. And what is amazing to me is even as a young baby, those babies have a personality. They're all different. I mean, Megan came along, we put her in a car seat, she went to sleep. Kaylee came along, we put her in a car seat, she screamed. As long as she was in the car seat. Their personality. And all of the personality of God came in the form of a baby. If he had come as a king, I mean, he could have burst upon the scene suddenly and they would have accepted him regardless of the fact of whether he would have been a tyrant or whether he would have been somebody good. They were so helpless and hopeless that they would have accepted anybody. But if he had burst upon the scene as some great thinker, they would have probably accepted his new ideas, whether those new ideas were good or bad, or you know, if they led them in the right way, or if they led them astray. But he didn't come as either one of those things. He came as a baby. The frailty. This doesn't sound right, what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. The frailty of deity. Think about it. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when we begin to think about all of this and we begin to move toward this, there has to be some hope there. There is hope in the person of God that He has not forgot His people. Even when they went astray, time after time after time after time after time. I told you before, Israel better be glad I'm not God, because I'd have wiped them out and started over. But He came. And there's hope in the person of God. But not only is there hope in the person of God, there is also hope in the purpose of God. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The purpose of God has always been to save lost people. I mean, we understand, we believe that before time and eternity that God had worked all this. If we believe that He's God and He knew all that He knows, then He knew what was going to happen, and the plan was, and the purpose was carried out. When Christ was born, when He lived, when He died, when He was resurrected, I mean, all of that happened. All of that came about. And Pastor Heather said just a few moments ago, if we didn't have Christmas, there would be no Easter. But without Easter, there would be no need for Christmas. Amen. Without the resurrection, He's just like everybody else. But God had a purpose. All of it is actually consummated in this person that has been born, and the kingdom begins. Folks, please understand, absolutely nothing else in this universe is more important than God to carry out His purpose in mankind. And there is something that is tremendously hopeful about that, even though we are who we are. God has said, I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. Israel wanted liberation from their captors. God wanted to liberate them from their sin. There's a big difference there, folks. Israel wanted to live. They wanted to live out the law in their day, and God wanted to come to deliver them from that and give them the law of love that would do something in their hearts and lives. Israel wanted sacrifice, and God sent His Son is the ultimate sacrifice. And because that sacrifice has been made, He has sat down, which means His duty, His purpose is fulfilled. No priest could ever sit down because their duty was never fulfilled. But Jesus, the Hebrew writer tells us, has sat down. You see, the purpose of God has always been deliverance. And please understand, deliverance is costly. Deliverance is always costly. And the purpose of God is deliverance from sin, deliverance from the pain of sin, deliverance from the penalty of sin. You see, there is hope in that kind of purpose. And that is the purpose of God in all of this. So when you begin to look at this, there is hope in the person of God. There is hope in the purpose of God. But I'm so grateful this morning that there is hope for the people of God. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. We know that all of this was originally for Israel. We understand that. We know that from what the apostles say. But now you and I are part of that family. You and I are part of that kingdom, because we've accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. And Israel was allowed. They were going to move from a cold, dead, repetitive religion into a vibrant, living, ever-changing relationship with God. That was their hope. That was their birthright. And they missed it. That hope is now for all of us. Give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. I mean, what better hope do you have? What better hope could you ask for? And it seems they ignored it. Can you imagine living in abject poverty?
I mean, you've heard all your life that one day this messenger is going to come and he's going to tell you about the riches and the wealth that are actually yours. And finally, this messenger is sent to you. He tells you all that is going to be yours. And you sit there. I talked about the publisher's clearinghouse thing last week. I'm going to tell you, those people rejoiced over that. And if we were sitting in abject poverty and all of a sudden someone came and told us, you are rich beyond your wildest dreams, some of you who never do hardly anything would be shouting like old times Nazarenes. You know? But because this person that came was not what they thought he was going to be, because he didn't look like they thought he should look like, because he didn't do all the things that they thought he should do, they sat there. And we would say, how silly. You know? We would say, that's silly. To think that they could have had everything that they ever wanted, to think that they could have had all that they ever needed, and yet they sat there. They did nothing. They really didn't sit there. They crucified him. We say that's silly. Why would they do that? And yet, how many times in a service just like this have we sat and heard the gospel proclaimed? Heard that Jesus came into this world, that He was born, that He lived, that He died, that He was resurrected, that He can forgive us of our sins and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. How many times have we heard that proclaimed and yet we sit there? I didn't figure I'd get many amens on that one. And I'm not throwing rocks or stones at you, because I can't tell you how many services I have sat through knowing that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, was really speaking to me about something that I needed to do, and yet I sat there and did nothing. This hope that I'm talking about, this hope for the people of God, it's not somewhere way out there. It's not somewhere in a place that we can't attain it. It is right here, right now, in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is here to do a work in your heart, in my heart. He is here. There is hope for the people of God. Amen. And we are those people. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. We don't have to live in the poverty and the hopelessness of sin. We can have hope, and that hope is in Jesus. That hope that moves us beyond the here and the now into a different place, into a different realm of living. I grew up little town in Alabama called Piedmont, Alabama. Dad had been pastoring in Cartersville, Georgia. And Piedmont, he had preached a revival there in Piedmont, and they called him to be their pastor. The first time that we ever went there, they were having a singing. Now, if you've never been to one of the old-time red book hymnal singings, let me tell you what happens. They might have as many as 18 people up leading one song. I'm telling the truth, aren't I, Eugene? And I'll never forget walking into Piedmont First Congregational Methodist Church that day, and they were singing a song. I don't remember what there was, but there were 18 people. I do remember that, because I counted all of them, and all of them were directing the songs in all kinds of different ways. None of them were doing the same thing, you know. I grew up with that music. I mean, I really did. It was something. There was something about that music that got a hold of me. Especially when you come to the chorus, and in the chorus the parts just go every which direction. We sing a song here, and we all sing the same song. We all sing the same words. We all sing, but in that convention singing, the parts just went everywhere. And I came to love that.
One thing I found out as I've grown up and as I've listened to it across the years now and in my older age, I have found out something about those songs. Almost all of those songs had to do with heaven. Almost all of them. Almost all of them had to do with something beyond the here and the now. Most of those songs that in that old Redback hymnal, they were written in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And folks, I realize when you begin to think about what was happening in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, I'm telling you, there were a whole lot of people who were hopeless. And the only hope that they had was not in the here and the now, but was in heaven. At least that's what they thought. We read of a place called heaven, a place for the pure and the free. These words I've messed it up. In God's book, they are written how beautiful heaven must be. Some of that morning, we shall see Jesus in the air coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing that will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. What a day of singing. What a day of shouting. On that happy morning when we all shall rise. That was what it was all about. But they had hope, I think, and didn't really realize all the hope that they had. And I'm not sure you and I realize all the hope that we have. Jesus just didn't come to tell us about someplace, somewhere. And that is true. That is so important. But Jesus just didn't come to talk to us about what was going to happen one day. He came in order to talk to us about how our lives could be today. There is hope today for the people of God. You do not have to live in a hopeless situation. There is hope for the people of God. Application. Hope has to be one of the words in the season of Christmas. I gave it to you a while ago when we were about to dedicate Daniel. The saying goes something like this: every baby born is a sign that God believes the world should go on. I don't know that that's, I mean, it's an old Jewish proverb. But that baby that was born, Jesus who was born, was a sign to the people that you and I can have hope beyond the here and the now in heaven, but I'm glad that we can have hope in the here and the now. You see, the baby Jesus, as he has come, he has revealed to us hope in the personality of God, hope in the purpose of God, hope for the people of God. And if you are sitting here this morning and you feel hopeless, I'm glad to tell you that I have hope for you. I have good news for you. I can tell you that someone came and he died for you. And because of that, we have. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. Thank you that in the eternal plan of God, you were part of that hope-giving process for us. And we have become your children. We have become the people of God. Not because of anything that we have done. Not because of righteousness of our own. Because our righteousness is filthy. But there's hope in your purpose. Perhaps, Lord, this morning that there is someone who is sitting here today that they feel like their life is hopeless. They feel like that there's nothing out there for them. Thank you, God, that through you we can have hope. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow. Hope because a baby came into this world. A baby that was promised, a baby that was given, a Savior that lived and died and is resurrected. Thank you, Lord, that we can experience hope. We love you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and for the opportunity that we have to serve you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. May you bless us and help us throughout this season that we might indeed focus on the one who has given us hope. The one who wants to give us peace and joy and love. Thank you that you are a God who has reached out to us. We give you glory today for that. In Jesus' name. Appreciate you being here this morning. Remember all the activities this evening. What we're going to do with cookies and carols, we're going to come together and we're going to sing some carols. You're going to learn some stories about those carols that are true. And then you're going to have cookies. I knew that would... That's good. God bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning. You are dismissed.